4. A and J. Part 1. The Fragments. A blue door. There's no light in the narrow stairway to the third floor. There's no handrail either. Just wooden steps and plaster walls that were probably added in an attic renovation long ago. The door above remains shut, but there's a sliver of light that escapes through the bottom, coming from inside. He must have left the window uncovered. The door looks darker than the walls of the stairway, but it's hard to tell from this angle, without light, that it's blue. We painted it during the summer from a half-empty can he'd found in the garage, a color called Rustic Sea.
A complicated color for a complicated door, he joked,
but it turned out to look more like denim than anything else. He stepped back after applying the first stroke, wrinkled his nose, wiped the back of his hand against his forehead.
My feelings on this color are also very complicated.
There was a smudge of rustic sea over his left eye. I love it, I said. I reach for the door now, and I can almost smell the fresh paint, feel the summer breeze coming in from the open window to help air it out. We painted it all the way around, front and back and sides, and sometimes the door still sticks when you pull it open, like the paint dried too thick, too slowly. There's a speck of paint on this silver doorknob that I've never noticed before, and it makes me pause. I run my thumb over the roughness of the spot, wondering how I missed this. I take a slow breath, trying to remember the room before I see it, to prepare. It's got four walls, a closet, slanting ceilings before they meet at a flat strip over top. There's a fan hanging from the middle of that strip, the kind that rattles when it's set to the highest speed. Shelves built into the walls on both sides, giving way to a sliding closet door on my left. A single window on the far wall. There's a bed with a green comforter. A desk to my right with a computer monitor on the surface, the tower hidden below. The walls are gray and the carpet is brown, I think. I'm no longer sure. The color blurs and shifts in my mind. It's just a room, any room. Four walls and a ceiling and a fan. This is what I tell myself before I step inside. This is the whisper I hear in my head as I stand with my hand on the knob, waiting on the top step. For a moment, I think I hear his footsteps on the other side of the door. But I know this isn't possible. I picture us sitting across from each other on the floor, my legs angled between his. He leans closer. He's smiling. Then I remember. The carpet is beige. The door will squeak as I push it open. The air will be hotter or colder than the rest of the house, depending on the time of year. All these things I know by heart. None of this prepares me. Saturday morning. His mother asked me to do this because she said it wasn't something a mother should ever have to do. I don't think it's really something an ex-girlfriend should have to do either, but mother trumps ex any day of the week. The room is full of you, Jessa, she explained, by which she means the pictures. They're taped around the room, directly to the gray slanting walls, and in all of them I have my arms looped around his neck, or his arms draped over my shoulders from behind me. I can't even look directly at the photos, but his mother is right. I'm everywhere. Sometimes I wonder if his mother knows about the ex part, if he told her, if she overheard, if she could tell all on her own. Though something about the way she stands at the base of the stairway watching me linger at the entrance to the attic room, something about the way she asked me to do this in the first place, makes me think that she does. There's a chill up here, but I know it's nothing more than the poor